What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbliss. It's another great day, and we're going to talk about some music, talk about life, have a good time. Today, I got Sunshine James on the show with me, and I'm hyped. Dude, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming to hang with me. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit and talk about your stuff. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. Just hanging out in Arizona and staying warm.
Now, see, this is the problem. See, that statement right there is the issue, is that he starts it off by saying staying warm, when in reality, by me staying warm, I got to wear two jackets and a hoodie, right? Like, it's like 20 degrees here in New Jersey, 25 degrees. Right now, I'm in the basement of my house. I had to turn the heat on or else I'd freeze myself out. I sleep with three blankets at night, and I run pretty hot. Let's get this straight. I run pretty hot. I'm a small guy. But I run very hot. I'm always hot. In the summer, I sweat like a bill, like a freaking, I sweat like it's nobody's business. And in the winter, I don't like big jackets, but it's straight up cold here. And you're staying warm. And like, you're like, oh, I had to wear a sweater the other day. It was 70 degrees. 70 degrees. You're spoiled. You're spoiled.
Out of respect to all my people in Buffalo and Tennessee, I haven't been posting many pictures.
I think that's probably for the best. Probably just a little bit for the best, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Is I've never been to Arizona, but, you know, like, I know, like, there's people that are out there that are from Arizona and whatnot. So, like, what is cold for Arizona? Like, when do you say, like, you know how sometimes – like, I think for here, it's like we get all the seasons, right? So at some point, you're like, ah, it's cold. But like, I feel like it goes like this. So for us, when spring, like March hits and you hit like 65 degrees, 60 degrees, even like 55, we're like, oh, it's warm out today, right? But then when it's the fall and it's like 60 degrees, you're like, oh, it's actually cold. When in reality, you know, like 6 months prior, that was warm. So it's kind of this weird like thing that works out. But in Arizona, when do you wake up and go, damn, it's cold out today? What's the temperature?
I think 55.
Okay. That's not 55. Horrible. That's not horrible. I mean, that's
– but it could be better. You'll see hoodies and flannels at 70.
Yeah, see, that's fucked. Like, that doesn't make sense. That 70 degrees for me is, but okay. So here's the thing though. Isn't it like dry heat in Arizona or yeah. Right. Dry heat.
Yeah. But so is an oven. It's still hot.
I'm quoting that one. Yeah. So is an oven. That's great. That's phenomenal. I love that. Okay. Well, but, so obviously if you're listening to this right now, this is a few weeks in the future. If you know anything about me, I'm a Vikings fan. Not a great weekend over here in the Corbliss household. You know, spent a lot of Sunday around a bunch of Giants fans. Didn't work out. Kind of miserable experience. Are you a Cardinals fan?
Unfortunately, yeah.
That's like one of those teams where you're just like, that sucks.
Yeah, and all my family is from – a lot of my folks are from an hour and a half south of Buffalo, so – my backup that I've always rooted for is Buffalo.
There you
go. So it's finally good in that realm. But my whole life has been miserable, just Arizona and Buffalo.
I love it. So I mean, at least like you're kind of in a good spot, right? I mean,
like, yeah, it's fun, you know? But it still doesn't feel like when the Diamondbacks won the World Series.
You're still riding that wave. Are you still riding that wave?
I will be riding that until the day I die.
dude, that was like. That was like pretty much 20 years ago.
22 years ago. Or coming up on 22 at the end of this year.
22. Yeah. We're riding that's on 22 ace. Years. Listen.
And I'm still
I'm a Yankees fan, so I'll let you have this one. I'll let you have this one.
It'll be all right. You guys got the three before, so
yeah. I'll let you have this one. Just this one. This one time. All right. Anyway, so to circle back here. So like we said, you're from Arizona. This is obviously apparent after the last 10 minutes of this conversation. But you're in Nashville, you're an artist in Nashville and you're a songwriter in Nashville. So how does your path from Arizona follow you there? Because it's usually like, I feel like there's a handful of states that it just makes sense. Like, they're like, oh, I was in college or I was in high school and I had no other plan. I just said, I'm going to go play music. So I said, oh, I'm going to move to Nashville or whatever it might be, right? And that's usually like the guys from Georgia or like got a lot of Alabama people that are like, oh, I played at Auburn or I played at Bama and I decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a go, right? Like, there's, and I know a bunch of them, but I always like when someone from a like obscure state, like maybe up here or Pennsylvania or Arizona, wherever, right, says like, oh, I'm gonna go give it a shot. So what is your what was your music upbringing like, and what led you to decide, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and give this a go?
Well, I grew up in a very, very musical household. My mom and her dad and my grandpa that I grew up with, they're both country artists, singers, musicians. Mom played bass and sang guitar. My grandfather was a great guitar player, great singer. And they both back in the day, a little bit kind of dipped their toes in the Nashville thing, trying it, but kind of ended up choosing family. And my mom straight up tells me, she goes, I didn't put in the work. She goes, I thought I would sing my butt off, be pretty, and someone else would do the work for me. Yeah. And, you know, so she always tells me, she goes, do the work, just do the work yourself. But anyways, grew up in a very musical household. My dad he was the rock and roll influence. He was a drummer. And, they were both my parents from a small town, an actual small town. Not like everyone's like, I'm from a small town. It's like 70,000 people. They're from a town in the middle of the woods.
There you go. That,
900 people. So, they kind of were the only people that left their little town. Sure. Everyone else stayed. So that's kind of in my blood to just kind of be a gypsy, a rambler, whatever you want to call it. I was born and raised in Arizona. We lived in Texas for a little bit when I was 2 or 3, so I barely remember that, if at all. Then I was 16, moved to Buffalo, graduated high school, dropped out of community college out there, back to Arizona, met a girl, moved up to Colorado. In Colorado, we built a couple studios, started a label, had fun with that. That all fell apart. Lost a different girl that I fell in love with out there. Moved back to Arizona, and then I was like, it's time to go to Nashville.
This sounds like a melting pot for a great country song. There's a lot to dissect there, and a lot of different areas of life. I think it's great. I really do. I think it's awesome. Now, wait, let me ask you this. I don't know why I'm hooked on this part. So your parents were from the same small town?
Yeah, they've known each other. So my grandfather was the principal, superintendent, shop teacher, automotive teacher, and history teacher at the school. It was K through 12. Sure. So my grandfather paddled his future daughter-in-law when she was 8 years old.
Wow. All right. Whatever works.
All town, man.
I love it. That's awesome. That's so funny. I think that's cool that you have all those musical influences and that you've kind of been to all these different places, whether it's, I mean, choices, right? Like whether they were good choices or poor choices or whatever, like you went. So that's cool, right? So let me just really quick, I'm curious about this. So you moved to Colorado and you started a label. I mean, like was that your goal, or did it just kind of happen that way?
The label kind of just happened because
were the studios the goal? Maybe I jumped
across. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I ended up at a studio. I was just going to record. I'd quit music at that time. I was done. It just kind of led me nowhere and destroyed more relationships and part of my life than any drugs and alcohol could. And I met a dude that was producing. He's a little bit older than me, so he became like a big brother. And then all of a sudden we hit it off. We're clicking, we're drinking, we're writing, we're working in the studio. We're texting each other every night. Like, man, would it be cool if we got some horses in a barn and built a studio and had like this dream. And then he was a real good talker, and he got some people to invest some money, and we got some money into that and built a huge, beautiful studio with a bunch of our friends. And then a label kind of happened. It doesn't always work out working with your friends. Sure.
Well, that's for sure. I that's for sure. I know some people that decided to work with their friends, and, Yeah, it didn't pan out. That's why I'm a one-man show there, my friend. That's why I keep it my way, and I do it my way, and we get influence here and there. But that's, I agree, it doesn't always work out that way. And you got to go through those experiences to learn. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. But do you think that doing all that, because like you said, you were kind of done with music at that point, in doing all that, did that fuel your fire again to give it a go?
Yeah.
Like to say, okay, like I'm around it. I love it. I love listening to it. I love writing it. I love making it. I love singing it. Why don't I just do it?
Yeah. And the big part of building it in Denver was I'd been to LA, I'd been to New York City, and I just felt nothing. I'm not a city guy. I don't like concrete. I really don't. It kind of gets on. It's fun to visit and hang out and go get rowdy and bar hopping, but it's for a night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Vegas is only good for about 48 hours, and then
nothing good happens after 48 hours in Vegas. Remember that.
Exactly.
And nothing good happens after 48 hours in New York City either, because trust me. No, I'm good. I'm all right. Trust me. That's where I'm from. I'm good. I can stay away. I go in for two reasons. When I have to, and to see a show. That's it.
Yeah.
No other reason.
Have you been to a show at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, of course. I've seen Billy Joel in the Garden twice.
Oh, wow.
I've seen Billy Joel. Who have I seen in the Garden? I've seen Billy Joel in the Garden. I've seen... Ooh. Have I not seen him? Oh, no. I've seen... wow. There's definitely more. I think I've seen like Dan and Shay in the Garden before. Justin Bieber. These are the type of shows I see in the Garden. Typically I don't see these shows, but if I'm gonna see these shows, they're probably in the Garden. But typically, like, I've been to I started going to concerts when I was 17, 24, right? It used to be like once every year, and now it's like way more than that. So I've probably been to close to 30 shows in like the last, I don't know, however many years. And very few of them were not country shows. Most of them are. But I've seen like I've said, I've seen Billy Joel. I've seen, you know, a piece together version of Skynyrd. I've seen the Eagles.
Nice.
So, like, not all in the Garden, but like they have UBS over here, which is like where the Islanders play, and that's in Queens. So that's like 45 minutes away. Or we got like the Prudential Center where the Devils play, and that's like 20 minutes away. So there's a ton of places to go, which is cool. But I like a lot of the smaller stuff. You just have to find it. It's like kind of depends. The Gramercy in the Upper West Side is really nice. Cameron Marlowe was there a few weeks ago. I saw that. That was sick.
Oh, cool.
So there's like some really cool venues in the city that are small. But it's just the hassle of getting to the city. That's the worst part. You never like, I don't like to take the bus in, because then I got to take the subway, and the subway is like kind of an iffy spot. Or then I just drive, and then you're paying a lot for parking. It's just, you know, it's just, this doesn't work out. I'd rather just drive in the middle of nowhere and see a show. It works better. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Where was I? Lost my train of thought, as I typically do. What were we talking about? Oh, cities. So going to Nashville, right? So then you decide to go to Nashville, right? And to do music all in, songwriter. Like, what gets you back in? Like, what, because I see on your Instagram, you listen to a lot of a plethora of music, and which is very similar to what I listen to. We listen to very similar things. But like, what is that? Who is that artist, or maybe that song, or that album that kind of drew you back in? Because I know sometimes people have sometimes people stop listening to certain artists or certain genres of music because it makes them feel a way they don't want to feel. Like maybe they're going through a heartbreak and these songs pull out like some heartbreak emotions or something like that. But sometimes I know that there are people who are done with music and they listen to a record and then they're like, damn, like, this is why I love it so much. I want to do it again. Was there anything like that for you where you said, like, crap, like, this is just the best life and I want this?
Well, yeah, when I quit music is when I moved to Colorado, and that was, I wrote a song called Love Like Hers that I put out.
Nice.
And I was really, really proud of it. I wrote it in about 30 minutes, just watching TV after I woke up, and I was like, man, I should go record this. This is good.
Yeah.
I need to go find it. And then that's how it just snowballed from there.
Yeah. So I think that's great, because I think that there are people that really struggle with songwriting, but even once they kind of figure it out, it changes their entire trajectory of their career. I think that it's like one of those things that, even if you think you have it figured out, you don't. And even when you don't think you have it figured out, you kind of do. So it's like one of those things that you just have to do, right? It's all about rest. Yeah. And it's all about kind of figuring it out. What I think is really cool about you is that all these like sides of music that I want to talk about, it shows in your songs, right? Like, you don't have this traditional like honky tonk voice, right? You have this very raspy voice that's very rock driven, but you have this very honky tonk sound. Like, even in your newest song, it's very like, it's very, I don't even know how to explain it. The banjo with it and things that make it very, it's very fast paced, and things that make it very countryfied, right? But with this raspy voice, which makes people's ears stand up and they're like, okay, this is cool. So, you know, you said your dad was very rock influenced, right? And you said, you know, so like, who are some of these bands that you listen to on daily, or artists in general that you listen to on a daily basis, where you say, okay, well, I want to try something like this, that maybe towards what, I don't know, Boston or Journey or I don't know who does, right? That like you're interested in.
I've always loved like Alice in Chains melodies and harmonies.
Cool.
That is the most unique, especially in that metal blues world. I know everyone calls them grunge, but that's just a heavy blues band.
Sure.
And Layne Staley's voice is a huge influence on me. And Nickelback, Chad Kroeger. I'm a massive, massive Nickelback fan.
Wait, can I pause you for a second? Don't you think that the reason why people shit on Nickelback is just because everyone else does it, but they actually like it and they think it's good music?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Listen. I mean, I remember when the hate started and I was like, what are these songs are incredible. What?
Exactly. I say the same thing. Yeah. I think that people just hate on it because it's easy to hate on because everyone else hates on it. But I think deep down inside, everyone loves Nickelback.
That's happened. I bet you that's happened 100 times or more in my life, where everyone, I bring up that I love Nickelback, or someone goes like, he loves Nickelback, and they all jump in on me, and I go, and I'm shameless. I go, yeah, the songwriting, the musicianship, the producing, the tones, everything about that band, I love it. And eventually someone pulls me aside and goes, hey, I know we're all ragging on them, but I love Never Again, or I love Burn to the Ground. I love How You Remind Me.
Dude, I used to work out to Burn to the Ground every single day. And whatever you say, This Afternoon is a borderline country song. So that's what I love though, right? Is like, I love bands like that and like Three Doors Down, and there's a ton of them. We can go on and on. That are all very Southern music influenced.
Yeah.
So like, there is a bridge there. And I think that that's why, like, a lot of these guys in today's day and age, they play country music, but a lot of it's very rock heavy, right? Because they love the lyrics of country music, and they love the story part of country music, but they love the band component of rock. So they just kind of make a sandwich, right?
I think Hardy and Morgan Wallen both said that.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love that stuff, right? I mean, like, how can you not? How can you not? Like, if you love, and I think the thing is, and tell me if I'm wrong here, tell me if you disagree. Like, for me, the reason why I love country music is the same reason why I love rock music, because it's genuine music that is real people playing instruments that have genuine talent and they play together and, you know, they have real voices. Because I'm not really a fan of like the snap track. So for me, like, the real band goes a long way. And I recognize if someone can really shred or if someone can really play the drums, you know, like, I recognize that stuff. So like, growing up, that's the stuff I loved. And then when I got into country music later in life, it was for the same reasons, add the storytelling, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Like, you go see Cody Johnson's band, and that band top to bottom just kicks ass.
Kicks ass. Kicks ass. I hope I see him in May. I've never seen him. He's never come up here. And I think I'm going to get a chance.
Man, I got to see him 3 or 4 times at the Grizzly Rose in Denver, because I used to live there. I literally had a seat named after me at some point. Like, I just was there, and I would walk in the back, and Mark Chestnut would be playing, or Cody that's Johnson and Clay Walker. They all came through the rows in Denver.
That's wild. You know? That's so nuts.
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of stuff that I wish I had, because like those guys are some of my, like those guys are my heroes. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Clay a little bit here, and it's kind of cool that like I grew up listening to Clay, you know, or in my teens, I was listening to Clay. I don't know. It's kind of cool. Like it's cool to have those guys, but they don't come up here for good reason. I get it. But I've been listening to Cody for like 10 years, man. Like 10 years waiting for my chance, and my chance is finally here. I can feel it. Like I saw Eric Church for the first time last year. And Eric Church is like my guy. He's the reason, like, I just love this stuff. And it's because of Eric Church. Cody Johnson's an incredibly close second. And I got so like in my bag when Church started opening his mouth. And I feel like it's going to be the same way when Cody opens his mouth. I don't know. We'll see.
That's awesome,
we'll
man.
See. We'll see. It's a very emotional experience. I'm not an emotional guy, but it's a very emotional experience for me. So who knows? I wanted to ask you, this is something that I see on your Instagram. So I'm going to call you out, because I feel like this is a conversation I love to have with people. But what if you could pick five of your favorite records of all time, projects, full projects?
Yeah,
five of them. And now for me, this is what I'm going to show you. I have this little note memo on my phone. I don't know if I ever told anyone this, but I have this little note memo on my phone. And if I can find it, I can show you. And if I can't, this is going to be a bust. Wow. Can't find it. This is bad. Where is it? Anyway, I have a note on my phone that, oh, wait, here it is. That basically goes through, like, I got top, of course, it's gone. I got best voices of all time, favorite artists, best songs ever written, songs I wish I wrote, best bands I've ever, or of all time, in my personal opinion. And this list always changes for the most part. It mostly stays the same, but it always changes, right? Like for best voice of all time, I have Whitley, Singletary. In my opinion, Cody Johnson's got one of the greatest voices of all time. Vince Gill and Glenn Frey. And I can change that. That's been changed before. There are a lot of people that probably, like, I had George Jones on there, and I probably still would have him on there. Like for best songs ever written, I had The Dance, Fire and Rain, Everything That Glitters, by Dan Seals, one of the greatest songs of all time. Don't even tell me different. Like Pocket Full of Gold. I just have some ooh, great songs there. Pocket Full of Gold, right?
Yeah.
How about When I Call Your Name? That's one of my favorite Vince Gill songs.
The Pocket Full of Gold record is on my top records of all time.
I would throw it on there. If you can give me five, give me five. And if in a week it changes, shoot me a text, but give me five.
All right. So Alan Jackson, Under the Influence.
I like that.
That's the cover record he did.
Yeah.
Vince Gill, Pocket Full of Gold, Travis Tritt. And it's tough. It's tough between like four of the records. But I'm going to go with Restless Kind right now.
Oh, my God.
And then I got to throw in a couple rock records.
Yeah.
Probably my two most influential in the beginning. Alice in Chains, Facelift, and Nickelback, Silver Side Up.
I love it. I love it. That's incredible.
And that's top to bottom. Every single note I'm obsessed with. Every lyric I'm obsessed like that. Because there's a million half records that I could like better than them, but full records, that's probably a pretty good list I'll stand behind.
Now, there's two things I want to ask you. The first is why, like, Under the Influence is great, right? But I feel like there's going to be some people, and I'm not disagreeing with you here, but I feel like there's some people that are going to say, how can you pick a bunch of covers to be best record, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's my thought on covers, and then you can tell me your answer. I think that covers are an incredible way to give a song straight new life. I don't think that anyone that records a cover is saying that their version is better than the original, but I think they're saying that they are reimagining the song meant so much to them in their own way. And that's beautiful. Now, like, what about that record is just so captivating for you? Because I think that it's important to recognize that I have covers that I love too, right? Like, I love Daryl Singletary, and I always have, and a lot of covers on there too. But it's
old
just
violin.
Old Violin. Like,
oh, I just got chills thinking about it.
Like, Never Go Around Mirrors. I love Whitley. Whitley is the greatest voice to touch this earth. But I think Daryl Singletary's version is just as golden.
His voice. Well, I mean, so this is going to make a lot of people upset, but I don't know if anybody knows this. George Strait didn't write any of those songs.
No.
He picked them. There's artistry in picking them and singing them, but he didn't play a note of music on those records. And he helped pick the songs. He didn't write any of those songs.
No.
So he's made a whole career out of covers.
He's got 50 number ones that he did not pick a single song of. Or he didn't write a single song.
I think it's like 61 or 62.
Yeah, it's more than that. I just go off of like the 50 record, and I know that he didn't write a single one. Yeah.
Not, and he started writing 2 records ago. So he writes, and I have nothing against him. I love George Strait. But anyways, that album, it's either for Alan Jackson, Under the Influence, or The Way I Am.
See, that's
those
my
two favorite records are life-changing for me. But the cover record, his cover of Bluesman is
the best.
If we had to send music to aliens for them to understand us, that's one of the songs I'm sending. That is the most perfectly recorded song ever.
I feel really guilty every time I listen to that song, and I listen to it a lot. And it's not because it's straight for the fact that I think it's so good, and I love listening to that version more than the original. And it's not because I think the original is great, but I think you're right. That if I had to take a song and just define it as butter, it'd be that.
Yes. That is every ounce of that. The mandolin solo, Brent Mason on that bluesy, his signature tone. You got Paul Franklin making that steel cry all the way down the Delta blues world. And oh my God. And
it's perfect,
Alan Jackson's voice. You just can't replicate it.
It's absolutely perfect. I love that you said that, because I think that sometimes people struggle, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect. Like, I definitely did for a little bit. Like, I think at one point I became so I've always loved music, but at one point in life I became obsessed with music, right? But I also struggle with this notion that and I've been doing this for a few years, right? So my mindset has changed pretty much drastically. But for a while, and I'm not gonna lie to you here, for a while I was the guy who went on iTunes and listened to the 30 seconds. If I didn't like it in 30 seconds, I wouldn't download the song, right? Poor choice. Yeah. Don't do that. I also was the guy, I also was the guy who wouldn't give cover a chance because I thought that the original was better. Poor choice. Don't do that. And then lastly, I was the guy who basically thought that the best artists write all their shit. Poor choice. Don't do that. Because I am now none of those for these reasons. I think that covers reimagined songs. And I think there's nothing better than a song that can be reimagined, like Tennessee Whiskey, like Cover Me Up, like a million more. Blues Man, there's a million more, right? And the voice can captivate someone, and it can change their entire thought on music, and it can change basically their whole life. And I think that's beautiful. Two, I think records are the best. They tell a story. People get into music to make records. People don't get into music to make a song. When they start out, they obviously make songs. That's the goal. But in reality, most artists and most music lovers want an entire record and say, this is my story. That's what they want. Three, I'm talking so much. Three, I think that you're 100% correct in terms of, it is great if you can write your own songs, right? Like, it is awesome to be able to tell your own story, but it is also just as awesome and just as hard to pick the right song that means just as much to you. And you can say, man, I should have written that. And I think that if that stumbles across, you shouldn't pass it up just because you didn't write it. So George Strait did it right. Listen, there's a lot of other great artists out there that didn't write all their songs. Mark Wills probably hasn't written half of his stuff, but man, is he good. So, I don't know. That's my 2 cents. I think you agree with me here for the most part.
Yeah.
I just think being a music fan You know, you think you know it all until you just realize that no one knows it all. And you're like, no matter what, if George Jones rolls over in his grave because I'm listening to a cover of a song, he's probably going to be like, damn, that's good anyway. Because music fans are music fans of everyone, not just of themselves. So, I don't know. I think that it's cool. I think that it's probably, like, if you are someone covering a song and it's damn good, I think that artists recognize that and they say, like, yeah, go for it, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, if you had to release a cover, like, if I won't even say one, pick three covers that you wish you could put out, what would it be? I don't know why. I feel like you'd crush Simple Man. I feel like you'd absolutely crush Simple Man.
I wouldn't touch that song with a 10-foot pole.
I wouldn't either, but I think if you sung it.
Brent Mason has already made that song perfect. Shinedown made that song perfect. And Brent Mason, I keep forgetting, that's another vocal hero of mine.
Yeah.
I steal from him as much as, it's hard to steal from him, but as much as I can. three covers. I love singing the Keith Urban song, Somebody Like You, or Love Somebody Like You.
Wow, okay. That one caught me off guard. That's a great song.
I love singing that.
Why that song? Just curious.
I've always loved it. And then I started, I play it every night at cool. a gig. Cause it gets people just dancing and singing. And you just, everyone goes back to bar, let's get another round. Like, it's one of those songs. And just at the top of their lungs, it just owns a room.
Love it.
So it's fun as hell. God. And anything Waylon Jennings. See, Greatest Records of All Time. I forgot. That's why awesome. It changes. I'm like, oh, shit, Waylon.
Yeah.
Waylon is, that's probably who I steal from the most. Don't you think his Outlaw Shit Has Done Got Out of Hand?
Nice.
Cover that one.
Nice.
I think of an off the wall one. I'm not too clever right now.
Okay.
Something Tyler Childers. People like when I do Tyler Childers.
Yeah. Childers. All right. That's fair. I think that it's like one of those things that you go through phases with, right? Like I'm a huge proponent of like listening to a ton of music all the time. I don't always repeat, but there is sometimes a handful of songs that I'll listen to like multiple times a week, which for me is like really weird. But like and on the cover track right now, I'm actually, so like I said, I really love Dan Seals and I really love Everything That Glitters. But I was listening to David Adam Burns' new record. I don't know if you know who that is. He's a guy out of Texas. And he's really good. And he put out a new record a few months ago. And I was just like, sometimes I just like to put records on when I'm doing something because I don't have to like worry about what song comes up next if I don't want to listen to a certain song. So I just like kind of went and like stopped and picked a random one. I was like, oh, I've listened to this a couple times. I could give it another listen. So I hit go and I was doing whatever I was doing. And it gets all the way to the bottom. And I'm like, what the hell? I was like, what is this? And he was singing a cover of that song. It was acoustic. It's totally raw. Totally different sounding. A little bit slower. And then obviously Dan Seals has that like super high pitched voice for the most part, like when he hits certain notes, and David does not have that. So, like a different take on it. And I really liked it. And I've been listening to it partially because I can't sing, but if I could sing, it wouldn't be as high as Dan Seals. So I kind of like to sing like when it's a lower key. So I don't know. I've been really into that and things cycle through. And I think that it's cool that people appreciate covers. And I know that that's what we've been talking about, but I think it's awesome. So, you know, whatever inspires you to keep playing, I think that that's important. And that's really, really cool.
It's those artists. Last thing I'll say about it is it's those artists' job.
Yeah.
It's Alan Jackson's job. It's Jamie Johnson's job. It's Josh Turner's job to make sure those songs keep going. Pass the torch. Because, you know, whether you like Morgan Wallen or not, that can't be the only influence.
Sure.
We got to keep Ernest Tubb alive. We got to keep Johnny Russell, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings. We got to keep those guys alive.
Yeah. And people love it. Like people love it. I think that it's becoming a full circle. I was talking about this a couple weeks ago. I think that the tables are turning where people are bringing that stuff out and they're like, oh yeah, this is cool. I don't care what you say. Like, I think it's cool. And these are my influences and this is what I love. And, you know, you have a lot of guys saying these are like, they have a lot of modern day influences, but there's a lot of people that say that their heroes are Wailing and Keith and all those guys. Right. So I think that's cool. And I love it. I love it. I really do. So gotta ask, we're going to talk about your new song here in a little bit. I usually like to kind of wrap it up that way. So I have to ask, I really have to ask, what the hell is with the school bus?
That's Jillian Eliza being impulsive as hell.
I love this. Can you explain? Because people might not know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw that Jillian and you have a bus. So, like, did you just buy the school bus? Like, can you even just, you could just buy school buses like that? Is that like?
So my buddy Ryan that we're staying with, he's on a Facebook group, and he's an airplane mechanic. So he's in all sorts of mechanic and retail buy, sell stuff, almost like a auto trader on Facebook. Yeah. Pretty much. It's the best way I can do it is say that as a 90s kid.
Sure.
and he saw this bus and he goes, oh, wouldn't that be funny if Jill bought this bus? And I showed Jill.
Why Jill? Like, why couldn't you buy the bus?
I don't know.
Want a bus?
Well, she wants to live in like a, she wants to convert it and turn it into a home and all that. And well, I'm like,
she's got the travel bug, right? She's got the travel bug.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why whenever I go somewhere, she's like, can I go? Let's go.
Yeah.
So it's literally, show her the bus and we go look at it. And then we're looking around like, damn, this bus, it's clean, it's tight. We open up the engine compartment. The hoses are good, no leaks. There's clamps, everything, twist ties, everything's good. Everything's fucking, no leaks. And I'm not a diesel guy, I'm not a mechanic.
Sure.
But I do enough to look at something and know. And my buddy Ryan was with me and he's like, everything looks good, it sounds good, it's running good.
Took it
for a test drive, ran out of gas, quarter mile down the road. And then the guy had to come get it. We took it around the block after we put more gas in and primed it back up, because diesel, you got to prime it as it runs out of gas.
Yep.
And she gung-ho. She found the money. And I couldn't be a part of it financially because I won't say how much I spent, but lots of thousands on the three singles.
Yeah.
And then I'm spending thousands on radio, and then I'm going to spend more on promotion and spend more on a van and a trailer.
And that's fair.
So I'm balls deep into that side of it right now, trying to get this music out there so I could buy 10 buses if I feel like it.
Sure. Of course. Are you taking the bus? Like, are you driving it back to Nashville?
Yeah, there's no way in hell she's driving it.
That's all right. That's all I need to know. Is it going to make it? Like, is it even going to make it?
Oh, dude. It's an international 7.3. And so that's a million mile motor. And it's got 193,000 miles on it.
I love it. Well, so the good thing is that if you need to take a nap, you just got to go in the back. You're good to go.
Yeah.
You got all the room in the world.
There's like 48 seats.
I love it. You could bring 48 people. I'm on my way. Don't worry. We're going on a road trip. Do you know what the color of a school bus is? Do you know what the actual, like, the actual term for the color of a school bus?
It's not school bus yellow.
It kind of is. You're kind of close. You'd be surprised. It's the actual. So one of my really good friends I can't even call him a bus. He used to be a bus driver, but now he's like the mechanic for the buses and people drive the buses. So he told me this once. He loves school buses. And he told me once, and I'm going to take his word for it. I think I've looked it up, and I think it's true, is that the color of a school bus is National School Bus Chrome. That's what it is. National School Bus Chrome.
National or natural?
National. National School Bus Chrome.
School Bus Chrome.
Weird, right?
That's odd.
A little odd, but I looked it up, and I think he's correct.
I don't see any chrome on my bus, but
it all wore off. It's going through the dirt. I love it. I love it. Well, that's really cool. I just needed to know that little tidbit of things. I was like, dude, this is like literally a school bus. I need to know, and I need to get to the bottom of the school bus. It'll be sick if you can like, paint it a different color and then like make the inside all crazy. You should put some like hardwood floors down, do some crazy stuff, throw a sink in there, maybe a toilet. You'll be ready to roll.
Oh, she's fully taking advantage of my handiness.
I bet.
I did a lot of years of construction, so she's like, you can do everything. It's like,
you can like pimp out the rims. It'd be sick. Think about it.
I'm trying to think if there's any rims. I do love school bus rims, though.
See? Well, that is cool.
They almost look like muscle car rims.
That is true. That's a good point. You don't got to make me a promise that you're going to put a cool horn in it. Got a cool horn.
Oh, yeah. That was the first conversation.
Yeah. All right. So as long as there's a cool horn in it, anything else goes.
Cool horn. And it's funny. She's going to make a video because I was like, it's funny. All my buddies with their diesel trucks complain, I had to spend $120 filling up my tank today. I go, that's cute. We just spent $480.
That's nuts. That's absolutely crazy. I love it. Yeah. That's so cool. Well, I wish you the best luck in it, and I hope it comes out really cool, and I'm excited to follow along the bus journey. I think it'll be awesome. So that'll be sick. So that's really cool. I love it.
There'll be lots of content covering that.
I'm excited. That'll be fun to watch. It really will be. So let's circle into your music here. You mentioned some singles here. The first one that came out a few weeks back is Wild Wild West. Super upbeat. Very southernish country blended. It's awesome. It's really, really cool. Talk about it. What is it the start of? You know, where are you going from here? I love it. So let's talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, me and my buddy Bear Riddell wrote it. And this is my first co-write I've ever put out. I sat down in his apartment and I go, I swear to God, if you play G, D, E minor, C, and say something about a girl and a truck and a tent, like, I swear to God, I'm going to hit you. And he was just like, all right, what's wrong with you? And so I was like, let's write a banger. We started on one thing. It wasn't really going because I had this melody and riff that I'm still sitting on that I thought would sound great with his voice. And it didn't hit. And then he started messing with it. And all of a sudden it turned into Wild Wild West, and we're both from out west, and it really excited me writing it, because everyone kind of moves to the south and starts pretending they're southern and they're from it. And I'm really, really proud of being from here. I'm very a western guy. Like the south is, or the south and the whole east, really, it's very built up, very, very tight, a lot of trees and buildings, and it's literally, you cross the Mississippi and the sky just starts opening up. Mm-hmm. And that I can breathe again. So I'm very, very attached to where I'm from. So it's just a lot of great, great references. And I'm really proud of how well it was written, the lyric bouncing and the melody. And then, yeah, he didn't want to cut it. So I took it over to Buddy Hyatt, and he got the all-star cast together. Brent Mason's playing on it. Austin Crum, Joe Spivey. I'm spacing the other guy's name, but yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. And I love that you're really honing in on kind of where you're from. Cause I will say, I agree. I've actually been, waiting to see if I should drop a subtweet or something. Cause everyone that like moves south is always like picking up, like, listen, like, you know, if you're faking it, I always talk about like people see through bullshit. Right. And it bothers the hell out of me, but, I can't stand when someone like moves to somewhere south, especially if you're like from here, and you start saying words like ain't and y'all and you replace damn, and you start saying dang, and like, you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, you no, might, yeah. But up here, like, we're very harsh up here. We just say it like it is. Right. So like when you go there and you like, and you try and change kind of who you are, and I've been seeing it a little bit more and more, and I think it's annoying. It's like, I get it. Like, I get you're subject to your environment, but it's clear that you're trying so hard. Try that hard.
Yeah. It's tough. Cause I'll still say stuff in a Buffalo accent and I'm like, what the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
It's just, when you're around it long enough, you can't get out of it.
Right.
But, But it's you know, and that my statement's not necessarily a knock on anyone. It was just weird to me that everyone's like kind of forgetting where they're like not. I don't know how to say it. Not forgetting where they're from, but they're kind of just they're like I'm all this.
They're
I'm
molding into where they're molding into where they are now.
Yeah,
and it's not a negative thing. It's just like
It's just different from how I do things.
Yeah, totally, and I agree. And I think that it's really cool that you're using this song as that homage, right? Like you're paying homage to where you're from, and that's cool. And you know, a lot of people do that, but not a lot of people do that from Arizona. Of guys that are from Arizona or from other parts of the country, right? Like
I'm a little upset with Dierks Bentley. He has not put out any Arizona songs.
I forgot that that's where he's from.
He's from Arizona. Yeah, there's a lot of Arizona.
He spent a lot of time in Colorado too, didn't he?
I think he's got a house. He loves Colorado. He built, he made that record up there, The Mountain. I think he made it up there. And he's got the festival he does down in Telluride.
That's awesome. I it's funny you say that I read something. I'm sure you read this too, being a music fan, but Dierks said that he's putting a record out early this year. And like, I think it's like literally like a month or two. And he says the best country music he's ever done.
I saw that and I was like, that's
I'm kind of intrigued.
You put out he wrote some damn good songs back in the day.
He did. He wrote some really good songs, but I will say I listened to this new one. And I mean, I wouldn't say it's the greatest song I've ever heard, but it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Is it more with Billy Strings?
No. That is a good song, but he just put it out literally like as we're recording this last week. Let me see if I can find it really quick. I have it on here.
I'm gonna listen to it. Yeah, I love Dierks.
I think Dierks is great. It's called "Same Old Me." It's pretty good. I recommend you go listen to it. But on the Dierks train, there, "Come a Little Closer" is like my favorite Dierks song. It's like the Afro. Come on,
dude.
Don't even.
Come a Little Closer. That whole first three records is just the songwriting is incredible.
Lay It on Ice because it was fire. I mean, it is what it is. Like, I wish it would break. It was a great one too.
Come on. It would break. My Last Name.
I mean, Thinking of You is just a gut wrencher. I love that too. I don't know, man. I think it's cool. I love that that's the greatest thing about country music in my head, right? Like we always talk about people, like the one thing we always talk about here is like, why country music? Like what is the appeal? And I think that the appeal there is that, you know, like you can be from River Edge, New Jersey, where I am, or you could be from Arizona, or you could be from New Mexico, and you can be from Vermont or California. You could be from wherever, right? And no matter what, country song will translate to each and every person, and it's something that you can relate to no matter what. Someone told me yesterday or the day before, we were talking about kind of a similar thing here, and someone said the best part about country music right now is that the genre is so large, right? It stretches from end to end, right? It is so large now, so no matter what, your excuse can't be I don't like country music because it all sounds the same anymore. It can't be that way. It all sounds so different. Whether you like it all or not, it's a known fact that it all sounds so different. So there's got to be something within these millions and millions of songs out there that you just got to give it a shot. So that's my favorite part, right? It's like, we're talking about geographical things and we're talking about being from here and being from there. You put out a song that is paying homage to all these places, and none of those is a Nashville or a Texas. And it doesn't mean you love those places, right? Yeah. But like, that's not you. You're being exactly who you are. So that's great, and that's why I love it. So congratulations on the song. I think you're incredible. I think that your voice is incredibly unique, and you know, that's why I latched on to it, because it's different. Sometimes you need different, and it's different in a really good way. So keep pulling in from those influences and keep writing those songs and playing that guitar and singing as loud as you can. Keep listening to Nickelback, man. I love it.
Oh yeah, I've been cranking the new record.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's absolutely incredible. Thanks for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. You're a good guy. You're a cool dude.
Thank you, man. You too. Means a lot.
I appreciate that. I'm not that cool. Well, let's be honest. I'm not. Maybe I'm nice, but I'm not very cool. Listen, everybody, you can go listen to Sunshine's music wherever you listen to music. Go stream it. Go share it with your friends. The new song, Wild Wild West, is out now. You can go follow him on Instagram. Wow. Sunshine James CO. on Instagram and go follow there and keep up with music and show updates and where he's playing and all the good things and you know, share him with your friends and tell everyone about him, because I think he's really cool. And I think that if you love this, you know, Southern rock country side of things like I do, this is just another name to add to that repertoire, and you'll love them just as me, just as much as I do. So everybody, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, it's there. That was another episode. I'm Kyle, that's Sunshine James. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.